Central to biblical worship is the act of sacrifice and offering. In biblical days, the sacrifice of animals and the offering of the first fruits of one's harvest were primary acts of worship. When it comes down to it, all of what we would call true worship is an offering. We offer our praise and confession, thanksgiving and lamentation, petition and intercession, open ears, open hearts, our possessions, ourselves. True worship calls for the offering of the self to God. The psalmist calls us to bring an offering and come into God's courts. In words we heard earlier, the Apostle Paul describes the essence of spiritual worship as making an offering of our gifts, an offering of our very lives. So central to the Christian life is the concept of offering that during the first 3 centuries of the church, a Christian was often called an offerer. And not just any offering would do. A sacrificial offering is required. Like the widow who gave everything she had and was praised by Jesus. Like King David who said, "I will not offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing." Words that speak not only to giving sacrificially of our resources, but also giving sacrificially of ourselves. Gandhi chose Hinduism, but would have become a Christian, having so much respect as he did for the teachings of Jesus, had white Christians not kept him out of their worship due to the dark color of his skin. Gandhi said, "Worship without sacrifice is sin." Christian writer Evelyn Underhill says that true worship is summed up in sacrifice. Somewhere along the line, the focus of worship changed. Instead of coming to worship to make an offering, we started coming to receive a blessing or to be fed. Worship changed from seeing what we could offer God to seeing what God had to offer us. To participate in congregational worship in order to receive a blessing is self-serving on our part. Christian worship is God-serving and self-giving. Worship is about offering to God the very best of who we are and what we have. Will Campbell writes of his grandma Betty, "She wore the flannel bathrobe to church the very first Sunday after Christmas because it was the prettiest thing she had ever seen and the Lord deserved the best." That's the attitude behind an offering appropriate to God. Worshippers give the best. Think about the worship you and I offer. Are you here this morning to make a sacrifice? Do your offerings of money and time and self really cost you anything? The time of offering in most Baptist worship is often before the sermon. This morning, we've moved it to the end. Hopefully, by the conclusion of worship today, we'll have a better appreciation of why. having entered into the presence of God with reverence and joy, offered our words of praise and thanksgiving to God, confessed our sins and received God's pardon, then listened for a word from God through song and scripture and sermon, we respond to God in a time of commitment. The commitment of ourselves and our possessions to God. We join together in a hymn of response, a hymn whose lyrics are often designed to be a response, often based on the theme of worship that day. Our singing in itself is a response. And sometimes while the hymn is being sung, a commitment is made to follow Jesus and be baptized. Sometimes commitment takes the form of deciding to join a particular congregation as an expression of our being baptized into the body of Christ. For most of the people present who are Christians, this time of response provides an opportunity for rededication to the way of Jesus, a renewed commitment that should really take place each week we worship. Sometimes those decisions can be made privately where we stand or sing. Sometimes those decisions are made public. I don't know exactly what goes through your heart and mind during the hymn of response. Hopefully it's more than the lunch menu. But I'm challenging us all. At the conclusion of worship each week, to give serious and prayerful reflection as to what kind of commitment and sacrifice God is asking of us now. The prophet Micah asked the question, what does God require? He answered with what many have called a summary of the entire Old Testament. To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. This kind of prayerful response can take place during the hymn of response and or the time of offering, where we ask questions about our lives. How can I love God more fully? How can I follow Jesus more closely? How can I love my neighbor more faithfully? Do I need to give more of myself and my resources based on God's calling on my life and the needs of the world? At issue in the response and the offertory is what will be given to God. It's such a crucial time that unless it is an emergency, I would ask that you not leave during the time of response and offering, because the offering is really the culminating act of worship, a time where we may not only place a monetary gift in the plate, but also as a moment in worship where we make an offering of ourselves and our possessions. And with the offerings we make of who we are and what we have, we support acts of justice for the poor. We perform acts of mercy, helping those in need. We walk humbly with our God, acknowledging that all that we are and all that we have belongs to God. One pastor reminded his congregation, we're not here for a weekly meeting of the religiously inclined. We're not here for a little Sunday visit to church, a little singing, a little listen to a little sermon. We're here to give ourselves to God. The offering is a significant testimony of faith. It helps keep us from divorcing Sunday worship from daily life. The offering is one of the primary tests of our worship. It is the time to literally put our money where our mouths of praise and gratitude have been. You may recall how Jesus noted that our hearts are usually where our money is, and vice versa. The offering is not an unwarranted intrusion into worship. The offering is the acid test of what we are about. It connects our faith to our jobs, our daily cares and concerns, what we wear, what we eat, where we live, how we vote. Sacrificial giving forms our faith and changes the way we live our lives. It changes what we buy. It changes the kind of persons we become. A couple of weeks ago in my sermon on the sermon, I said that perhaps we Baptists have wrongly considered the sermon the central act in worship. We've made it the point around which and toward which everything in the service moves. I would suggest to you that the offering and the response, the time of sacrifice and commitment, is the place toward which all worship must move. Church musician James Berry wrote, "The point toward which the entire worship service is directed is the offertory. It is more," he said, "than the reception of money to support our ministry and mission. It is a time of decision in response to all that has happened in worship to that point. It is a dedication or rededication of our lives with all of our resources. When the offering plates are brought forward and placed upon the altar, it is the symbolic offering to God of the lives of those present." Several years ago, I experienced for the first time a service where the offering was the most moving part of worship. It wasn't that the singing and preaching were bad. It was just this moment of offering. I was at a Baptist church in Richmond, Virginia. There's a picture of the front of the sanctuary on your bulletin cover. The sanctuary resembles a cathedral. It has a cruciform shape to it, with a split chancel where the choir faces each other as they sing, and a beautifully crafted wooden pulpit up some stairs onto the left where the sermon is delivered, and a lectern to the right where Scripture is read. The altar is some 20 feet back between the choir rows at the very front of the sanctuary under a glorious stained glass window. The choral anthem is often sung as the offering is received. At the end of the anthem, the sounds from the pipe organ begin to swell with great beauty. The ushers come forward with the offering, meeting at the transept aisle, the center, where the cruciform-shaped floor of the sanctuary comes together. Two ushers meet two of the ministers in the center and hand them the offering plates. Then the four of them turn and head back toward the altar between the split chancel with the choir on each side, and the organ continues to swell and the congregation rises to their feet. And when the two ministers reach the altar table facing the altar, they lift the offering plates up toward the heavens, and everyone joins in singing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And as that took place, I thought to myself, I want my gift, my offering, as a part of that. It was a powerful moment of authentic worship. I was ready to depart. as I made my offering. I'd never experienced anything quite like it. I felt confirmed in my conviction, based, I believe, on biblical grounds, that a sacrificial offering of self and possessions is the true climax of worship. I think in much of our worship, this moment has lost some of its power and meaning. I wonder if part of the difference is that many of us now give to the church monthly or quarterly or even annually. Some of us give through the mail. The offering plates are rarely full as they pass by. One father was stunned when his young son, who sat by him every Sunday in worship, asked one day, "Dad, why don't you ever give anything to the church?" The father actually gave very generously, but never in ways his children could see, never during the offering as an act of worship. I would like to encourage you, however you give, to consider your giving as an act of worship. Either if it's placing your offerings in the plate each week or scanning a QR code in the bulletin, however it is, and if you cannot be here, we will be most happy with the U.S. Postal Service. Let's be clear. But even then, mail it as an act of worship, not as just another bill or a payment. We're here in worship to offer all that we are and all that we have to God. Annie Dillard provides one of the most striking images of sacrifice I've ever read. She spent a year living alone in the American Northwest, writing her book, Holy the Firm. While writing one night with a candle burning on her desk, a moth flew too close to the flame, and she watched as the wings caught fire and blazed until they were gone. But the wingless body attached itself upright in the hot wax next to the wick and became a second wick for the candle, its body brightly bearing a new flame. And she reflects on the scene with these words: "There is no such thing as an artist. There is only the world lit or unlit as the light allows. When the candle is burning, who looks at the wick? When the candle is out, who needs it? But the world without light is wasteland and chaos. And a life without sacrifice is an abomination." The image of your life, like that moth's body, a flame, may feel a bit frightening to you, especially if it feels like the annihilation of the self. But if you think of it in terms of the giving of yourself, of being a flame with God and helping light the world, well, there's something deeply stirring about that image. Do you not want to bear a light to the world? To be a wick shining with the light of Christ, even if no one notices you? Are you not stirred by the idea of sacrifice? Annie Dillard is right, I think. Life without sacrifice is an abomination. To live for nothing but yourself, to risk nothing because you are afraid, to live and move in your own little world, protecting what is yours, never making of your life a sacrifice for something greater than yourself, such a life is an abomination. For we were made in the image of Christ to be self-emptying vessels of love and blessing and light to the world. Worship should help us become such vessels. A desert monk wanted his life changed. So he went to his desert father, his Abba, and said, "I've followed all the commandments, but I'm not yet where I want to be. What can I do?" And the Abba said, "You could become flame. You could become flame. You could offer yourself in the words of Isaiah, 'Here am I, send me.'" It is here at the offering where we rise and follow Jesus. Worship is sacrifice. We're here to offer all that we are and all that we have to God. What will you offer God this day? Through the offering of our lives, we seek to glorify the one who made us. Our hymn of response is, "We Will Glorify," hymn 360. If there are any public commitments you wish to make this day, to commit your life to Christ and be baptized, or to unite your life with this community of faith, we would welcome those decisions. I'll be here at the front to receive you. But maybe there's a commitment you need to make right where you stand and sing. May these moments be holy as we offer our voices, our hearts, and our lives to the living God. Let us stand together and sing.